Hello, everyone, and welcome to our podcast, Jaeger CPA Review and More. This podcast is sponsored by Jaeger CPA Review, the course provider that deals only with the AICPA blueprints. Please go to the JaegerCPAReview.com website and look at our various products, and we believe in seeing is believing. And therefore, please look at our 3-day free trial. Pick a subject, and it'll give you 3 days free access, unlimited, to that product. And I believe that once you look at that product and see how it works, you will pick Jaeger CPA Review as your course provider. If you have any questions, you can reach us at 301-874-4900. If you press 5, you may even talk to Phil Jaeger. Take care, everyone, on your journey for the CPA exam. We wish you the best and good luck.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of CPA Review and More. We are pleased to bring you the number one podcast for CPAs and CPA candidates. If you'd like to learn more about how Jaeger CPA Review can help you, find us on our website at JaegerCPAReview.com. Now, here's your host, Phil Jaeger.
We got to go into the high schools more.
Yeah.
But how can we go into every high school and talk to every potential student? I mean, that's so difficult.
Yeah, that's not going to be realistic. I mean, I think we're going to need to tap into people who are CPAs, especially those who are part of state societies. You know, I think tapping into alumni of those high schools are getting a track of that. I know New York State Society is doing a great job of, they have a co-op program and they get out to the high schools. And I think, getting someone with that relationship, I think you're more likely to go back and speak to your alma mater in high school as well than probably a random school. So, maybe that's the way, but who knows?
Now, did you go to Dix Hills School of Accounting?
I went to Half Hills High School West. So I went to Hills West, but, it's crazy. I have two older brothers. We're all 4 years apart. And I went to high school the same time as my middle brother, Andrew. So there was a teacher who taught an elective course. He was a finance guy. But he taught accounting. I did that probably in my junior year, my third year of high school. And, that experience in itself, I was really strong in math. I took college calc, all that stuff. But going into college, it was kind of, I was weighing my options between math or accounting. You know, there was just, accounting is in the school of business, especially at Miami. So, I figured I was going into business, not knowing much at 17. And, I think his name is Mr. Veerling, but I think when he taught that accounting course, I think it just gave, we were just doing basic stuff, bookkeeping, and I wasn't even that good at it, but I knew that I had that experience, and I knew that that had to give me some sort of leg up when I got to college. And also, I will say that when I entered college, because I took college calc and college English, I came in with a certain amount of credits, which placed me in accounting as soon as I went to college. So I didn't have to wait to the second semester of the second year, which most students do. And I do believe that kind of played a role. And I had a fantastic professor at University of Miami, Professor Levine and Professor Collins. And I know tons of people that went to Miami that know them too, but it was an enjoyable experience learning accounting. And that's kind of how I chose it.
Were they full-time professors at University of Miami, or were they adjunct?
So they were both full-time. I don't know if they were tenure track or not, or one person was, and I think one person was doing their doctoral degree, but they were full-time.
So what did you like about them? Well, I mean, did they make you decide that you wanted to be an accounting major?
I think they just I already declared the major, but I just had an enjoyable experience, to be honest. I mean, Professor Levine, Seth Levine, people that graduated before me or after me, they always talk about him. And he just, I think the first thing that he brought in that kind of just opened up my eyes was early on in the course, he talked about the careers in accounting. And yeah, he talked about public accounting. But when I saw the salary, go up to $250,000 after working for 10 years, I think seeing just that trajectory was like, okay, well, I could see, I know it'll get me somewhere. So I think introducing that was helpful, and just you know, he just had an interesting way of similar to you, you know, your course, like just an interesting way, engaging way of delivering the content.
Did they have a finance major at Miami?
They did. Yep, they did.
Were more people going into finance and accounting or vice versa?
I don't have the numbers, but I think more people went into finance. And I actually, this was just my inclination at that time, that finance was more difficult and challenging. That was just the kind of stigma I got out of it. It was kind of for certain people who really did well right out the gate. And I'm a first generation college student. So I just thought accounting, you know, fit better in my wheelhouse. I think there was more, I'm pretty sure there was more finance majors.
Because I know a lot of people majored in finance instead of accounting because there was no fifth year, you know?
Yeah.
And I think the fifth year was the start of the declining enrollments in accounting.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, yeah, yeah. We actually, Phil, when I graduated in 2012, during that time period from 08 to 2012, Miami started to create the 5 year. So it wasn't even there for me to get into, nor was it there for me to get into the accelerated program until right about that time.
The experience requirement in New York is what to get the CPA?
I think it's actually 1 year, I believe, of accounting experience in any function. It doesn't have to just be public.
Is that still the case?
Yeah, I believe that's still the case.
Yeah, because I thought that most of the states now it's 1 year in public accounting or 1 year working under a CPA who can attest that you know accounting. You know,
yeah, that's what it is. Public accountant or a CPA. Either way, you need the CPA sign off for a year, but you can perform accounting functions. And it's not just limited to attestation and tax. Like if you're in payroll, if you're doing bookkeeping, like there are columns for that. So when I applied for my license in 2017, that was helpful because when I first printed out the application and when I started studying with your course, it said only public accountant. I was like, what am I supposed to do with that when I can't get a job? But they were more lax on that.
What do you think of that? You know, people don't want to go into public accounting. They go into government, all right? Yeah. And they take the CPA exam.
Yeah.
And then surprise, surprise, all right? There's not a CPA to sign off on this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I think widening it up was a great step, a great move. I mean, I wouldn't have my license if they didn't necessarily open up that requirement. And, you know, I think the CPA allows, you know, it's the certification of accounting, but we need not only people attesting for the financial statements, but we need people who are working in private, which might provide a more flexible life, more of a 9-to-5 life. Not saying it's only 9-to-5, but maybe people are trying to grow their families, right? Like you see more private accountant in suburbs, right? I think just opening up that wheelhouse would raise the level of everything. It would raise the quality of the financial reporting from a private side. You can go into nonprofit, you can go into governmental accounting. I mean, this profession still has plenty of opportunities. I just think we need to reach that wide
base. Well, if they really restrict it to 1 year working in a public accounting firm or working under a CPA, yep. All right? They're gonna, you know, this is the problem. I brought this up in meetings I go to at the SCPA, that you're forcing people to work in accounting, you know, public accounting for a year. And if you decided, hey, I want to go to the corporate environment first,
yep.
All right? You got to find a CPA to sign off on that. They can have this evolution all they want, the CPA evolution where you're going to pick a specialization, all right? But the experience requirement is going to stay the same. That's what they said, which means you work in a CPA firm for 1 year, you work under a CPA who can sign off. So what have we gained? If, you know, I want to specialize in information technology, okay? I want to specialize in tax compliance, whatever, all right? But I don't want to work in a CPA firm. And, you know, I'm really concerned I won't have a CPA to sign off. Now, do you know why that's the case?
Why is that the case?
All right. Yeah. When you took the CPA, did you think it was a certification or a license?
I thought it was a license, but, you know, I go back and forth sometimes.
No, it is a license.
Yeah.
And that's the AICPA's position. It's a license to do public accounting. Mm-hmm. Now, I took the exam. It was a certification.
Oh, okay.
I passed the exam. They sent me my CPA certificate. All right. Now, if I wanted to go into public accounting, all right, then I would get the experience requirement. And when I got that, they gave me a license.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So I was not forced to work in public accounting.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
And Phil, they're not doing anything to change that. And at the AICPA, they have several people, I shouldn't say several, one, all right, who believes that CPA is just a license to do public accounting. All right. Now, how many people, do you have any idea? I don't know the answer to this. How many people don't want to go into public accounting? How many people go to some other area? Do you find that at all? I mean, do they?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely find that the few of our students go into public accounting, and many of them pursue private accounting, nonprofit, governmental, you know, there's different areas, different areas.
Do they get their CPA?
Yeah, equally. They're all still interested in getting their CPA, or do end up getting it. Yeah, absolutely.
So they have to worry about the experience requirement, right?
Yeah. I mean, the companies they're working at, you know, hopefully someone at that company, the CFO, or is a licensed CPA. But that's not, you know, that may not always be the case, especially if you get an experience in a new growing startup company, right?
Yeah, I mean, if they want to get more CPAs, okay, I'm not saying make the exam easier, all right? Make it easier to apply to take the CPA exam.
Yeah.
And when you pass it, supposedly passing the CPA exam shows that your knowledge of accounting. It really doesn't show a lot, to tell you the truth, because what you really learn is when you go into the real world, right?
Yeah, my accounting skills in the classroom have completely sharpened from the moment that, you know, I'm getting the repetitions. I'm teaching similar courses multiple times over and over. I have so much more reps than I used to, you know, so I've definitely gotten a lot sharper way beyond passing the exam and getting licensed.
Now, your school doesn't put pressure on you to get a doctorate?
No, a terminal degree for our university does count as a master's and a CPA counselor's.
And who are they accredited by? Just the...
We're accredited by the IACBE. Yeah, that's our accreditation.
What is the IACSB?
Yeah, sorry. IACSB.
Whatever it is, yeah.
Yeah.
What is that accreditation?
I am pulling it up right now.
All right.
It's the International Accreditation Council for Business Education.
Oh, is that to compete against the American Assembly of Collegiate Schools of Business?
I'm not sure. Yeah, I have to look into that.
How many people teaching accounting at your school have doctorates?
Pretty much everyone, 90+%.
So you're not going for the doctorate, all right? All right. They're not going to give you any grief with that, are they? Or did you set that up before you took the job?
Yeah, that was just their requirement before I took the job. In St. Peter's Academic Handbook, they deem a terminal degree as a doctorate, or specifically for accounting, the master's and CPA license.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, you know, just because you get a doctorate in accounting doesn't mean you're a good teacher.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not ruling out getting that doctorate, but I mean, you know, I can clearly only speak for myself, but I think that our program has benefited tremendously. Just the quality of teaching our students, the quality of our students, their ability to retain knowledge. I mean, we're at a Jesuit university, so we're always about that. It's similar to your course. It's, you know, it's engaging. It's really care for the whole person. And, you know, I think me being able to, you know, if I had a doctorate, I probably wouldn't have had the time period to work in public accounting.
Right.
And I wouldn't be able to, you know, guide these students, advise our students.
Do you have any regrets becoming a CPA?
No, none, not at all.
How did the CPA change your life, if it did or didn't?
I think the most important thing to realize, it's a long-term investment. And when I say that, I mean, you know, I told you being in the class, first, I wouldn't have my academic position without it. So, and this job has definitely allowed me a lot of opportunity and career growth opportunity, and, you know, just a great mentors I have at the university. You know, also, I think forcing myself to stay on top of the industry, and you know, with CPEs, I mean, yeah, it's, yeah, we got to do 40 a year, but I guess I didn't even realize, you know, that commitment to just having to stay in the know of not only technical things, but I think as we talk about being CPAs, just expanding our skill set. You know, I'm trying to expand my project management skill set. It's not something that I see often in accounting, but you know, we're doing a lot of different things. We're managing a lot of different projects. So, you know, it changed my life for the better. I will always have an opportunity with the license because, you know, I distinguish myself in the profession. I never worry about that. You know, even after I got my license, I thought overnight, you know, the money would come or the prestige or the appreciation. But when you're in certain fields and everyone has that designation, you might not feel as special, or you might not feel like, you know, it's a big differentiator, but it does matter. I see the role of an accountant completely different than I did even a couple of years ago. I mean, I understand that, you know, we're talking financial literacy. We're talking giving people the power to make their own effective decisions. I mean, everyone makes money, revenues, everyone's got to, you know, cover their costs, expenses in their personal lives. And, you know, just having that power and that confidence to manage your own financial situation, that just, you know, that's a lot of that is missing, right? That in this country, there's a gap. There's a financial literacy gap, but that's what accounting is. And that's how we can kind of educate students in high school, let them know, like, this is a skill set for anybody and everybody.
You know, I'd say a year ago, I would tell people get the CPA, because if you don't like what you're doing now, it gives you the flexibility to change without any problem. But is that still true? Because all I'm hearing is that there's not enough people in the job market. So are the companies just hiring anybody, even without a CPA?
Yeah, I think in public accounting, you see that trend. But once again, you know, we also talk about, we've got a lot of growing technology companies. We're talking Spotify, we're talking, you know, all of these, you know, Netflix streaming services. There's an emphasis on analyzing data, but isn't accounting the first analysis of data? Like, isn't this what we've been doing this whole time? Analyzing financial data, right? And I don't know, I just feel like, you know, accountants we don't have the marketing expertise to kind of communicate that message, but I feel like everyone needs this knowledge. You know, this is the baseline that can get you into any company, because the amount of repetitions that you get in learning the financial information, if you choose any other major, you're not even getting close to that with accounting, right? Like, so, you know, if you want to get your foot in the door of any company, knowing the financials or having accounting skills is, to me, a great way to get your foot in the door and navigate through to other positions. What do you think, Phil?
Well, now it's hard to get good help. All right. So, yeah. I mean, I know in public accounting, they have trouble getting CPAs.
Yeah.
So actually, for example, it used to be that if you wanted to be called certified public accountants, every partner would have to be a CPA.
Okay.
But I don't know who's liberalizing that rule, because I know there's one firm someone told me about that, all right, they brought in as a partner, first time, a person who had an information technology background, specialization. Okay. They made him a partner, even though he wasn't a CPA.
Okay. Oh, wow.
And by the way, I don't know if that's really, if the SCPA permits that, they're basically saying to me in so many words, you know, if you don't have the CPA, but you have that specialization, we'll let you now call yourself, you know, XYZ certified public accountants, and you can be a partnership. All right. Now, that's really saying, I think, that, well, the CPA is important, but you know what? If you have that specialization that company needs, the public accounting, all right, then we're not going to stop you from becoming a partner, even though you're not a CPA.
Yeah. Yeah.
How does that help the profession?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, trying to find a way to expand that skill set, it's, you know, you can't cover everything, but having that technology background, you know, it's important. It's important. It could get you in, but that's CPA, you know, just that's what holds our name.
I understand, you know, a person who's doing IT doesn't necessarily have to get involved with accounting.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But then on the other hand, if you're letting an IT person become a partner in public accounting, all right, then you're really discrediting the CPA.
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely what the message seems, but you know, hopefully we can expand that skill set and scoop in some of that IT. But with that said too, it's, you know, what, how much can we really, how much is in our wheelhouse?
Also, we were talking about this. Technology is moving too fast. Do you agree?
Oh, yeah, completely. I'm amazed at how quick it's moving.
I mean, I think it moves, you know, the technology moves about 500 miles an hour, all right? And individuals try to keep up can only move maybe 75 miles per hour, right?
Yeah. It's moving fast. It's moving. You know, even myself, I didn't necessarily grow up with a phone in my hand. And in college, we had cell phones, but we didn't have apps like we do now. I mean, that's 2012. I had an iPhone, but it didn't have applications where you can, you know, multitask or stream. It was like texting and phone. So, and even in the last, you know, you're talking 9 years, the last 5 years, the last 3 years. I mean, it's just incredible. Even, you know, pre-pandemic, post-pandemic, it's moving at a lightning pace.
Well, Phil, by the way, what's that behind you? Is that your locker? Is that your closet?
Oh, no, I scooped up a trophy case.
All right, so what is that behind you? Those, is that award on the top? Is that the Emmy Award?
Is that an
Oscar? What is that?
I'm a brother in a National South Asian Service Fraternity, Delta Epsilon Psi, from college. So that's actually it. It's actually an alumni award when I came back home to New York. I just kind of was a alumni advisor for the NYIT school for our brothers. So the whole region of the Northeast kind of gave me Regional Brother of the Year 2013. So, you know, I appreciate it.
I don't get any awards, Phil. I really...
You deserve them.
I do. I deserve for example, they have these awards. 40 people under 40, you know. Influencers, you know. And I have these people on the podcast. And I say to them, how did you become an influencer, you know, on LinkedIn? And they said, well, they were nominated or something. And I felt, no one's ever nominated me, but again, I'm not under 40. But how about something under 70? Do you have anything?
I think we can do over 40. You know, we definitely have to highlight a lot of people in the profession. And sometimes it doesn't always come with the awards. But I think that's where the marketing comes in. And marketing is, how do you get your message out? You know, how do you communicate all the great things that you've done? And, you know, that's a challenge that any small business, small place, or not saying anything, just, you know, when you're at a small school or you don't have the marketing budget or dollars, it's in your strap for resources. It's how do you communicate that message to let people know just what you've done? Because it's been great stuff. You know, I wouldn't be here. I truly wouldn't have the license. I wouldn't have this job. I wouldn't be in public accounting. I wouldn't have any of that. Even the motivation, just the belief for me to get it, it was an important role for me to, survive and thrive now.
Well, it sounds like you're doing okay there.
I'm doing all right. I'm doing all right. Day by day.
And by the way, you'll be getting the Yeager CPA Review Award for the best guest on podcasts.
Hey.
Okay? All right. Now we'll come with a very large cash amount.
Great. Right? I'll put it back here.
However, it's in cryptocurrency.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. No.
Don't lose the passcode, you know? Don't lose that.
That's right. Well, Phil, thank you very much. I think you've enlightened people on various things. Phil decided to go into teaching. Nothing wrong with that. We need good teachers. But there's so many other areas you can go into. I mean, unlike years ago, it was auditing, okay? Oh, tax too, sorry. But today, there's so many, you know, areas.
So many areas. Yeah. It's a great place for students to get involved early also, right? After, I don't know how many other majors can get their students to land an internship after the first year. After taking financial accounting, you can do bookkeeping. You can do the payroll. Like, you can get exposure early that will pay dividends down the road.
Good point. All right. Well, Phil, thank you very much. Best of luck to you at St. Peter's. And by the way, I thank everyone out there who's been watching this and also is a subscriber and watches. You know, I have people telling me, you know, I listen to your podcast in the car. And I think to myself, is there something more exciting you can listen to? But no, they like this thing. I don't know. You know, they say, Phil, you're not boring guy. And I say, you're wrong. I am. No, I say, but anyway, as you can see, my business is good because in the back there, you're on
Yeah, yeah, I see that. Look at that.
That's the Mona Lisa. Most people don't know that. Okay. You can't see the top because I have to protect myself against theft. So, but anyway, please listen to Yeager CPA Review. And by the way, it's not called Yeager CPA Review. The podcast is called CPA Review and More. If you're looking to a review course, please go to our website, YeagerCPAReview.com. You'll find that we don't gouge the people and we help you pass the exam. All right. And I like to think we helped Phil somewhat in his profession. All right. Although he never sent me a present, I will accept it.
The present's on the way. The present's on the way.
I know. I know. The check's in the mail, too. Okay.
You knew that. Phil, I do appreciate everything you know you've done.
And I thank you for saying that. That's very kind of you, really.
It's always good conversation. And I'm going to put in the plug for anyone that wants to learn more about accounting or join the profession or maybe even just, you know, take the CPA exam or anything like that. Visit Phil Yeager's site, Yeager CPA Review. It's a really great site and it really do wonders for your career.
Well, thank you, Phil. I appreciate that. Anyway, I hope you will listen and watch every week, every Tuesday, we have a new podcast. And I've asked people for this over and over again. No one ever sends it in. But if you have a suggestion for a topic, we would be, you know, we'd entertain it, try to get people in that area. But of course, no one sends that in. So I pick the people on the area. And just keep watching, keep listening. I'm sure you'll learn something about the profession and the people who are in the profession. So everyone, you take care. Stay well. By the way, get vaccinated. All right. We don't want another COVID-19 this winter because if I have 1.5 years more of staying in this house, all right, I will get cabin fever, all right, and stay in a cabin. That doesn't make any sense. All right. So anyway, thanks, Phil. Take care.
Thank you so much for listening to Yeager CPA Review and More. As a token for our appreciation for your listenership, we'd like to offer you 10% off your next purchase with Yeager CPA Review. Save between $50 to $150 with code PODCAST10. If you'd like more information, look us up on YeagerCPAReview.com. And as always, if you've enjoyed this show, please rate and review on iTunes or your preferred listening platform. Again, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to you tuning in next time.